Our topic this month is, for the whole month, is this: that's how we've never done it. It's designed to get us to think about this invitation to approach every day with an attitude of adventure and newness. And it's based on the idea that life has in it infinite possibilities that are waiting for you and me to discover and express them in ways that have never been expressed before, as experiences that have never been experienced before. And it has within it this reminder also not to get stuck in the past or to let the past limit where we are going. And that's what this afternoon's workshop is all about. It's focused on setting intentions that can draw us forward into life with energy and creativity. However, this idea of not getting stuck in the past, it's not the same thing as just forget the past. This idea of getting excited about the future, it's not the same as ignoring current challenges in our lives or in the world. Because if you're like I am, then you're probably feeling all of it, the excitement of creative thinking about what is possible. And then at the same time, there is this dissonance with the question, is it okay for me to get into a celebratory state of mind and a mood when the world has got so much bad news in it and so many challenging, difficult things going on? So I have to remind myself every day that it's not only possible to hold it all, to hold both sides of it, but maybe even essential, to hold both space for the excitement, for the possibility of a better future, and at the same time to hold space for the concern about the true tragic challenges in our world, to hold space for all of it. I was reflecting on how the pandemic has changed us, because it interrupted our normal focus in life, and it made it necessary for us to look inside and start change from inside. And one of the outcomes, I believe, of the pandemic is that our awareness of social issues became focused and magnified. The deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. It caused people to unite in an unprecedented way, not just here in the United States, but across the world. Just like the unfolding tragedies in Gaza, right now have the attention of the world. And it's energizing the people of the world to get up and to demonstrate and to ask the question, why do world leaders decline to call for a ceasefire? Why? Now, our access to the internet has made it so we can humanize what is going on in the world. That's if we don't ignore it. Because we can bring it into our living rooms and we can bring it into our hearts. The podcast, This American Life, just recently aired on public radio a series that relates phone calls, conversations with a man in Gaza who talks about what he and his family are experiencing, and sometimes as they are experiencing it in real time. It's the story of Yosef, who works for the Norwegian humanitarian service there and who is currently being displaced from location to location. And the podcast follows him through conversations, through broken internet connections and uncertain resources, along with the 50-plus women and children, some of whom are pregnant, as they move through it. And in addition to the heartbreaking tragedy of the story, something touched me as I listened to parts of it, and it is this ability that the people in the story have to maintain a kind of grace or presence under fire, literally, and to maintain their connection with respect and value and decency under extraordinary circumstances. And I can't recall precisely what he said at this one part of the podcast, but and I summarize it like this. He said something like, I don't check social media now because I can't process how many lives have been lost every single day. So I have to keep myself focused on what needs to be done. And this, from a 30-year-old man who is watching the cars in front of him and behind him being bombed, being destroyed with civilians in them, while he's transporting his pregnant sister, two children, and mother to the uncertain south. Now that phrase, if he said it somehow like this, I have to keep my mind focused on what needs to be done. What a lesson. Because I find it difficult to keep myself focused just on being kind, to being kind-hearted when things are not going my way. So Yosef's story begs me to ask the question, is what I am upset about worthy of being upset about? And do I need to refocus on what is important to be done? These are sensitive times. And it is my perspective that these times need our collective focus. And in a real way, this theme for this month is relevant. This is how we've never done it. And maybe it could be restated like this. If how we have always done it brought us here, what do we need to do differently? So, maybe it's to refocus and to try to imagine how we might be together in a new way. And I can make it personal. How do I need to refocus and show up in a new, different way and focus on what has heart and meaning? And how can I shift away from low-level annoyances? These are questions for me. I remember during the pandemic, I had a conversation online with one of my colleagues, Reverend Sheila McKeithen. She is the president of the Universal Foundation for Better Living. And she said, and again, I'm paraphrasing because it's a long time ago, she said something like this, "This is no time for us to contract and isolate from the world. This is the time for us to up-level our spiritual practice and to meet what is going on in the world." And that continues to be true for me now because I can be tempted to go numb and to isolate. I can be tempted to just withdraw, especially when things get rough, even when they get disappointing. You know, I'm in a newish relationship, and it's beautiful and mutually supportive, and still I'm learning all over again that collaboration and compromise and listening and bravery and loving kindness are still the keys for growing a loving relationship. You know, and in the past, the way I've always done it is when things get rough, I withdraw and isolate. Like if I get into an argument, even if it's about something unimportant or important, then all of those good relationship building qualities I mentioned, collaboration, listening, repairing, just go out the window. So, I'm refocusing. I'm learning to do what Reverend Sheila said to do when times are challenging, whether it's in relationship or in the world or in the job or whatever it is. And I'm remembering, don't withdraw. Don't isolate. Refocus and up-level your spiritual practice, Edward. Refocus on your spiritual values. Refocus on doing what needs to be done and find your way back to the center of your peaceful, compassionate presence so that you can be present and available for what is happening in your life. Since the pandemic, maybe you've noticed it, it seems that the people of the world have been experiencing an ongoing awakening. And I describe it as awakening to the awareness that we are all part of this world society. From the Congo to Ukraine to Palestine to Russia to Israel to back home in the United States. And if it is to evolve, we must be part of that evolution. And I cannot see a way to be a spectator or to take refuge in this idea that I'm not affected by what is happening out there. I'm not affected by what's happening over there. Because that idea is not compatible with our metaphysical teaching of oneness. So I'm practicing what Reverend Sheila McKeithen is talking about. I'm up-leveling my practice. How? By taking time every day to do a spiritual mind treatment, that means to pray, to do a spiritual mind treatment for other people, to take time every day to sit quietly so I can reconnect with my center of compassionate clarity so that I can see more clearly and not withdraw. I was remembering in the year 2020, our theme was 2020 vision. You might remember that. And I learned that year that 2020 vision is not perfect vision. I didn't know that. You see, 2020 vision, I learned, is just the accepted minimum standard for certain industries. Humans can do better than that. I want to do better than average. I mean, we may be used to thinking of 2020 vision as good enough. And maybe that's how we've always done it. Accepted less than what we are capable of. So this month, I'm up-leveling my attitude from good enough, from average, because I want to do better than average. I don't want to be at peace with the way things were or how they are now. I want to keep on setting intentions for the life of all. I want to keep on dreaming of a better world. And then I want the energy. I want to let that energy of that intention and that vision pull me forward out of my withdrawal into clarity and into action. And even if it's difficult to talk about it, I want it to cause me to talk about it. So what does it mean to up-level my spiritual practice? Well, I've already mentioned doing a daily spiritual mind treatment. Now, if you don't know how to do one, we have resources available for you. There is after-service prayer where somebody can do it on your behalf, on Zoom or in person. And on our website, there's the telephone ministry of prayer. There is Dial a Thought. There's the email. And we also have our online affirmative prayer library. Why? Because spiritual mind treatment, prayer, is a very effective way of getting refocused, of becoming rerouted in the compassionate spirit of life, of getting back to the creative power that you and I are part of so that we can use it for the good of all sentient beings. Another way of up-leveling my spiritual practice is to get myself inspired. I got to be active about that. I've got to be proactive. And one of the ways we read it this morning is through spiritual study. And today I'm thinking about the power of poetry and its ability to inspire. You know, spiritual poetry, well, it can say things to my heart that words alone cannot convey. And I'm thinking about one of my favorite Rumi poems, which I read often. All day I think about it, then at night I say it. Where did I come from and what am I supposed to be doing? I have no idea. My soul is from elsewhere, I'm sure of that, and I intend to end up there. This drunkenness began in some other tavern. When I get back to that place, I'll be completely sober. Meanwhile, I'm like a bird from another continent sitting in this aviary. The day is coming when I fly off, but who is it now in my ear who hears my voice? Who says words with my mouth? Who looks out with my eyes? What is the soul? I cannot stop asking. If I could taste one sip of an answer, I would break out of this prison for drunks. I didn't come here of my own accord, and I can't leave that way. Whoever brought me here will have to take me home. This poetry, I never know what I'm going to say. I don't plan it. When I'm outside the saying of it, I get very quiet and rarely speak at all. The language of poetry, it helps me. It can help me refocus on this idea that there is something larger than me going on here that I am part of. That's different from my early religious upbringing. In my early religious upbringing, I was taught that I was worthless and a sinner and born broken, with a tendency toward failure, and that I had to spend my life working very hard to be persistently sorry for disappointing the divine and to apologize regularly for my natural shortcomings. And then I found the teaching of the Center for Spiritual Living. It's called Science of Mind, and I learned something new. I learned that I carry within me a spark, a piece of what this great everything is, call it divinity, and that you have it too. You have a spark within you. You carry within you divinity. Then that spark is worthy of respect and awe and love. Oh. A couple of years ago, I was watching a TV interview with one of our members of the center, and the reporter was asking her about, you know, why is she involved in feeding the unsheltered? Because, you know, some people wrestle with that question, does everybody deserve to be helped? Now, I don't remember, because again, it's years ago, I don't remember the exact words that she said, but I paraphrase it, and she said something like, when you're in love with that divinity, when you're in love with spirit, then your conversation is less about deserving and more about loving and helping. And that is another way that I can up-level my spiritual practice, helping others. To me, when I love and help, that's when I am worshiping. Because as the poet asked Rumi, who is it now in my ear that hears my voice? Who says words with my mouth? And now I can add to that, who helps through my hands? Who loves through my heart? who gives through my giving, who creates through my imagination. And the science of mind answer would be that part of me that is the seat of compassion and wisdom that I can never be separated from. And I want to be devoted to that. Our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, when he talked about that spiritual presence, this is how he talked. You who inhabit eternity and dwell within all creation, you who lives through all things and in all people, hear my prayer. I would find a resting place in you and live in your presence. And then he said, oh, lover of my soul and keeper of my spirit, none can separate us, for we are one. Now, even though these words are poetic, almost romantic, and it sounds like he might be addressing a far-off power, I keep reminding myself he is talking about something which is eternally, persistently present everywhere and experienced within. So it's a kind of devotional prayer he's doing, and devotion is yet another way that I can up-level my spiritual practice during tough times. And devotion is a way that you and I can make sure that we keep love and decency and compassion alive in the world through us. And because I am devoted not to someone or something, but to the Spirit which causes everything to be, I can feel free to serve it in this world. Now, devotion is a form of loving action. It's a special kind of focused love, selfless love. Selfless means, the kind of love that requires no reward. So it shows up as a kind of respectful affection that is given without strings attached. So whether that is through just looking at the art, the new art in our social hall, or attending a protest to support people who have no voice, or being with someone who is suffering and being available to them, or being mindful and helping someone, whether that is at work or in the family, or whether that is caring for a parent or a child, or whether it's through washing a floor or helping a stranger or speaking up in the presence of injustice. What makes these actions different from regular living, what makes them devotional, is the place where my mind is resting when I'm doing them. That's like Ernest Holmes' phrase, I would find a resting place in you and from your presence live. In Hinduism, it's called darshan, and roughly it means meeting the divine presence in whatever you're doing. That is another way I can up-level my spiritual practice. I can let my mind find a resting place in oneness and let it affect whatever I am doing, so that whatever I'm doing it from the consciousness of unity, and in so doing, and keeping love and compassion and decency alive in the world through me. So in summary, when times are tough, up-level your spiritual practice by doing these things. Refocus on what is worthy of attention and take action. Number two, refocus on affirmative prayer for others who are suffering and take action. Third, refocus on devotion and support and contribute to those who cannot help themselves. I invite you to take a breath in with me. And exhale as we enter into a moment of prayer to reconnect with the beautiful words that set us in motion this morning from Reverend Tara. To recognize that presence that continues to be available in us and through us and around us, that is the source of awareness, the source of life, that is the field of infinite potential, that may be tapped into and re-expressed in any way. And so today, through our celebration and through our music and words and poetry and camaraderie and community, we are feeling the shift from within to use that which is ours to use, our spiritual creative power, in ways that uplift the world through uplifting ourselves, clarifying our thought and vision so that we may be present for that which wants to be done through us. By way of this prayer, then, we find our way, we find our voice, we find that which is clear and follow it. In deepest gratitude for this and so much more, I release this word into that aspect of the divine that we call the law, and let it be. And I invite you to say with me, and so it is. And once more, breath in, followed by a sigh. As we use that breath movement to make a transition to the part of our service where we celebrate the law of circulation. The law of circulation are all of those practices that help connect us, keep us connected to the flow of life, including such practices as receiving, asking, forgiving, honoring, acknowledging, giving thanks, giving. Right here at this moment, we are practicing the giving part. So I invite the ushers to stand while we consider how we would like to financially support our center. There are so many ways, and if you would like more information on our website, there is a whole list of ways that you can participate, and we are happy to interact with you to find a way to support your center that matches your personal style. You can also text to give. We'll leave the number up here for a while in case you'd like to take a snapshot of it or experiment with texting the number to see how it prompts you into giving. Other way, I thank you on behalf of future generations who will have an oasis of spirituality in Sonoma County because we planted seeds today for the future then. Will you take your gift in your hand and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.
God is my source, God is my power, God gives me everything. So I give thanks for all my blessings. God gives me everything I need. Peace, peace is my source. Peace is my power. Peace gives me everything I need. So I give thanks for all my blessings. God gives me everything I need. Joy, joy is my source, joy is my power, joy gives me everything I need. So I give thanks for all my blessings, joy gives me everything I need. Take it, friend. Thank you.
Thank you again, gentlemen. So we have an important announcement about our annual meeting. Our annual member meeting is happening over Zoom again this year. It takes place this coming Sunday, March 10th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Members, please do not wait until the day of the meeting to register. We need to know you're coming well in advance of the meeting, and we must have a quorum. This means that a certain percentage of our membership needs to be in attendance before we can conduct business. Please RSVP by clicking on the photo of the vineyard on our website. One of the things we'll be voting on is our three new Board of Trustee candidates, who I would like to introduce to you now. They are Vicki Dodson, Mary Munat, and Maxine Wilkinson. If you would like to learn more about these three amazing women, we have a flyer with their background available at our info desk and on our website. As Dr. Edward mentioned, our beloved William Abel is transitioning out of his role as our facility manager, and that means we'll have an opening for this vital position in our community. If you're interested, please refer to the website, the picture of the tools, or stop by the info desk today. You can pick up a copy of the job description there. Our teens are getting ready for summer teen camp, and they are hosting a bake sale for us on Easter Sunday, March 31st, from 10 to 11. There will be lots of delicious baked goods for you to take home with you, and all proceeds will go toward helping them attend CSL's summer camp in Oregon. Today at 1 p.m., Dr. Edward is going to be leading us in his Setting Intentions workshop. Our intentions influence many aspects of our lives, and learning how to explore our intentions can inspire us to get excited about moving in the direction of our heart's desire. Intentions give us a roadmap for our creative energy to flow. You can sign up on our website by clicking the photo of the hands holding light, or arrive early to the workshop and pay at the door. The workshop will be held in Wagoner Hall, which is just right over there. And this Tuesday, March 5th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m., prayer practitioner Christine Ruddy will be leading us in an exploration over Zoom of three thinkers who most influence our founder, Ernest Holmes, in our core class, The Roots of Science of Mind. In this class, you will read selections from Emma Curtis Hopkins, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and Thomas Troward, and discuss the deep spiritual truths they uncovered. There will also be powerful class experiences as you put these spiritual principles into practice in your own life. You can sign up on our website by clicking the photo of the tree roots, and because this is a core class, we offer scholarships to help offset the cost of the class. If you're interested in a scholarship, email Reverend Russ or talk with him after service today, and he can help you tell you more about how to apply. You are also invited to our Spring Equinox Community Potluck, which takes place on Wednesday, March 20th at 6 p.m. We will share good food and community, and at 7 p.m. we will explore the spirituality of harmony with a special flower bouquet activity during our Wednesday evening service. If you would like to bring a delicious dish to share with everyone, please register on our website by clicking the photo of the potluck. So that's all the announcements that we have this morning. I hope you have a lovely week.
Thank you, Chandra, and thank you, Reverend Tar, and thank you for all of the people in the booth and the volunteers and the greeters and the hospitality people and our musicians and you for being here today. Thank you. It's time for us to close our service, so I invite you to stand as you are able for the benediction. And by the way, if you cried yourself to sleep last night or you feel incomplete about something, please go and visit our practitioners, the host in the corner in the building right now will hook you up with a practitioner who will give you that spiritual mind treatment. And if you're listening to us online, you can go to our website and you can have the same service offered to you through a private Zoom room. So please take advantage of that offering. And now won't you please say after me, something wonderful is happening through me right now. It is this thing called life. Life is in my mind. Life is in my body, and life is in my affairs. I think it, I feel it, and I express it. Just the way that it is, and just the way that it is not. Thank you, life. Know with me that you are never alone, that spirit is right where you are, that you have only to look within at any moment to know that you are guided, sustained, and expressed by a presence that expresses itself as you in this world. In deepest gratitude, let us live our lives accordingly so that in everything that we do and say and think, we honor this presence within. And so it is. Thank you for being here. I look forward to seeing you soon. And let us close in song.
I release and I let